The master of camp, Mr. John Waters, once said, "Life is nothing without a good sense of humor." And you know what? Neither is art. Thank you for tuning in to Weird Appalachia, a podcast about art, Appalachia, and all the weird things that we love. I'm Erin, and I'm so excited to introduce special guest, artist Jason Shepherd.
Hello. Are you saying I'm weird?
I mean, aren't we all?
Yeah, I am a little weird.
I mean, I appreciate this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. No, thank you. I'm totally honored that you asked me to be on, so thank you very much.
For those who don't know, our listeners who may not have heard of you, Jason is an artist / comic book creator / podcaster / everything.
Yeah, I kind of do it all.
And one thing that really drew my attention to your work is it's so unique. Like, you have your very, very much your own style.
That's good to hear, because I never thought about it going into what I do, but like, I just draw the way that I've always drawn. So I was hoping that nobody would ever say, "Man, I don't know, your stuff looks a lot like, you know, so-and-so." I just never wanted that. So I certainly never try to copy anybody's style or anything. So I'm glad that comes through. I don't realize it. I just do it, but it's good to hear that. So.
Yeah. I think that's super important too. Are you self-taught?
I am.
I think a lot of times with self-taught people, you know, you kind of lean towards the things that you've used to teach yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Obviously looks like it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and obviously I'm influenced by certain things and artists, but I mean, yeah, I try not to let that come through, but.
I think you definitely make it your own, so I don't think that's an issue whatsoever.
Aw, sweet.
So the Met Gala theme this year was camp. And it got me thinking, do you have like much of an understanding of camp in general?
Well, the term camp, if that's what you're referring to, like campiness in movies or things, like we were discussing before we were recording, like just poor taste, you know, like things that are maybe a little bit tacky or a little bit like that will result in like the rolling of the eyes. things that are funny that maybe weren't intended to be funny. That's what I know camp as. I mean, I don't know. Like the 1960s Batman show, that's campy.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Definitely. I think it's such a broad term. There's no way we're going to be able to explain it in all of its facets here. But to me, like the campiness that I relate to and love is like terrible zombie movies, things that are so bad that they're great.
Exactly. I can absolutely relate on the campiness of like film. Like when you say zombie movies, like my idea of an actually really good movie is like Surf Nazis Must Die. Chopping Mall, movies like that. I mean, I am totally, the crappier the better for me.
I love it when they're like really self-aware and they know it's bad and they know what they're doing. But one thing that made me like, okay, I gotta have Jason for this podcast is you take that feel and you turn it into like your own visual aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. I am very inspired by that stuff. Especially when we're talking about, obviously I'm very pop culture oriented, but at the same time, like a lot of my artwork that I have been doing in the past few years are specifically for like these festivals that I have done or will be doing. So like, as you know, one of them is the Little Green Men Festival here in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And I think they've done it 7 years now. But like, essentially what happened was there was a supposed one of the biggest documented UFO sightings / encounters involving a couple of families on some farmlands in like the middle of the night in 1955, I believe it was, in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And so the town commemorates each year by having this festival that, you know, it's a big gimmick. You know what I mean? Like they have a big UFO in the field and it, in aliens and, you know, cardboard cutouts or wooden cutouts of aliens and people dressed up. And so I'm like, you know what? That sounds really cool. I had never heard of it until last year. And I was kind of looking for like festivals to get into to go set up and display my art. And so I happened to get booked on this thing. And I just started cranking out like exclusive prints, art prints that would be for this festival. So I just started coming up with like all these spacecraft and or like these aliens. And then I did like a picture of the actual encounter that was depicted by the family and things like that. And I'll be doing the Mothman Festival this year. Yes. Point Pleasant, which you guys did an episode on the whole Mothman thing. So
we did, but I'd really like to revisit that because I'm going to be 100% honest.
Oh,
we experienced some things on that trip that
did you?
We didn't really put a lot of it into the podcast because, you know, I wanted the podcast episode to be taken very seriously, but we experienced some wild stuff while we were there.
Really? Okay. So like what, now's the perfect time. Let's talk about it. What did you eat? I am totally interested. So
we decided, and we did talk about this a little bit, but we decided that we were going to go to the TNT area. Uh-huh. And, you know, I spent the whole trip saying, I hope we see the Mothman. That'd be awesome. We didn't, but we go wandering around and Brooke was like, you know, I've been here, but it'd been like 10 years since she'd been there. And we were so lost. We just kept walking, kept branching off into more paths. And the people with me just started looking really freaked out because they're sensitive to like more things than I am. And everyone started getting freaked out. And they're like dry, picked clean bones laying on the ground.
No, really?
And that's the time when, you know, my sister-in-law, Jess, was like, yeah, we need to go.
Really?
It was crazy.
That's crazy. Well, and there's a whole, and not just the Mothman, but like surrounding the Mothman and that whole story and that whole encounter. There was all kinds of like weird, bizarre happenings that were going on that circulated around that. I mean, if you looked into the, you know, the whole history behind it. It's crazy.
I was going to say, any listeners who happen to be in the Point Pleasant area, they need to go check out the Mothman Museum for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited about checking that out. I've got to take a souvenir home or something. But, and, you know, that's the campiness that we're talking about here. Like that gimmick, there's something behind it. Is it silly? Maybe. I don't know. Is there really a Mothman? I don't know. I kind of hope there is. Like, I want there to be a real Mothman, you know? Like,
yes.
I'd like to run into him, maybe. And so that was another thing. Like, well, you know, here I go. Like, I'm going to do all these weird, crazy art prints and pictures of, like, Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster and different space shuttles again. And, like, this year for the Little Green Men Festival, I'm doing, like, even more exclusive prints that will be down there along with last year's. And it's like a perfect avenue for me to get that kind of artwork out there because I think people will eat that kind of stuff up down there. Just that weird, cryptid, bizarre creature thing, you know? And it all ties in. Even though we're at a festival for aliens, you might be interested in this Loch Ness Monster picture that I've drawn. Or, you know, I've always been fascinated with that stuff anyway, ever since I was a kid, like paranormal and, you know, outer space and life on other planets. And there's just something fascinating and cool about it anyway. So, you know.
It's strange. All those things, when I was a child, all those things scared me so much.
Terrified.
I was so terrified.
Yes.
And now me too. I love it.
Yeah, well, I'm still kind of creeped out by some of it. But yeah, for the most part, it's like eat it up. Like I'll go to sleep every night now listening to, and I've been doing it for years now. Are you familiar with Art Bell and Coast to Coast AM?
No, I don't think so.
No, so Coast to Coast AM was, I'm pretty sure, founded by Art Bell, this radio host, and he actually died in April of last year. I was kind of devastated by that because I had just grown to love him so much. But Coast to Coast AM was just this overnight four-hour radio show that would just talk about things like that. Like he would have open line. People would call in, and they would talk to him about, you know, things that they've seen or encountered, and he would talk about UFOs. He would have UFO researchers on, just any and everything that you could possibly think of. He covered and just right up your alley. You would really love it. And you can find them on YouTube. Just go on YouTube and look up like Art Bell, Coast to Coast AM, and you'll fall into this big hole of awesomeness. So
I mean, I'm quite well known for going down weird YouTube rabbit holes.
Yeah.
I don't know how I've not come across this yet, because it's totally.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Yeah. Art Bell is checking out. Plus, he's got this voice that'll just like your dad talking to you or something. I don't know. It's kind of nice. God, maybe I am weird. I'm right here. I'm right at home here, aren't I?
Oh, yeah. It's okay. We accept you.
Thank
you. One of us. You're one of us.
Yes.
Us being just me now.
Well, yeah. That's still, you know.
It's the collectively weird Appalachia, which yeah. I guess the show has kind of moved into now because, you know, everyone's so busy. It's really more of a revolving cast of really awesome guests now, more so than just three people.
And that's okay because, you know, it keeps things interesting. Like,
yeah, you never know what to expect, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So before we talk about much more, I really want to talk about your comic book. I read the first two issues. It's called Price, Private Investigator. And I was really impressed with, it's all hand-drawn. You wrote the story.
It's kind of weird how it came about. I really don't know. Like, I'm not a big comic book guy. I mean, I was when I was a kid. What got me drawing actually was my dad was a computer programmer for the state, and he would always bring me home like these heaps of, you remember that dingy white printer paper that was dot matrix paper, had like the holes down both sides?
Yep.
That, yeah. So he would just bring me home like tons of that, and he'd be like, here's some scrap paper for you to draw. Because he knew I had picked up drawing and kind of liked it. And of course, I sucked when I was a kid, you know. But I mean, like, he really got me wanting to draw. And he couldn't draw himself, but he would always sit and like show me how to draw, like, here's how you draw a person, or, you know. And he would always bring me comic books home. Like, any given day, he would come home and stop at the gas station. And this is when gas stations sold comic books. And he would bring me one home. And we would go to flea markets and yard sales and buy comics. And it was, you know, and I just read them as a kid. Like, remember laying on my bed growing up, listening to the oldie station, the local oldie station, and just reading comics. And that's what I did when I was a kid. So it got me into it. As the years have gone on, comic book crap is just the thing now, and I'm not into it. Like, I have not seen anything past, like, the first Avengers movie. I'm not into it. Like, it's so hyped and popular that I have no desire to see it. And I know that sounds really stupid, but, like, it's just not my thing. Yeah.
This is something I say a lot about, especially, like, a lot of the things that I love that have gotten popular. It's not so much that I don't like something because it's popular. I don't like things sometimes because the fans can ruin it.
Oh, absolutely. No. Well, it's gotten that way with so much stuff. Like, you know, Star Wars and everything else. I mean, nobody's ever happy, right?
So, oh, my God, I know. Star Wars fans hate Star Wars. They hate it.
They do. They do. They're, like, the hardest people to please. Yeah, I've noticed.
And I love Star Wars. I love every Star Wars movie, even if they're not that great. I'm still here for the party. I don't care. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I wasn't big on, like, so much, but, like, these newer ones have been pretty good. And, you know, I'm looking forward to episode 9. I'm glad it's still a thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's still going strong after all these years. So, and I don't think it's ever going to die, honestly. But yeah, you know, so just growing up with all that stuff, and it inspired me to draw. And I remember I used to draw, like, I used to write comic book scripts, like the dialogue, and I would show it to my dad. I was like, Dad, look, like, Mom, look, like this, I wrote this. And they're like, oh, that's good. That's good. And, it wasn't good, you know. Fast forward to 1998, I started playing music. I started a band. We were like a heavy rock band that went for, we wrote originals. We went for 9 years. After that, I had another rock band, like a funk rock band, that we went for 7 years. Then after that, I started doing solo hip hop stuff. And I had been doing that up until now. My desire isn't there anymore to do music really so much. I'm not going to ever say that. I'm never going to say never again to it. But I really put artwork on the back burner for so long because of music and because of everything else. And I just hated that I had not, because it was my first passion, you know? So a couple of years ago, I picked it back up and started doing commission work for people. I just started drawing again. It was one of those things that people didn't even know I had, like, I could ever do. They were like, oh, I didn't know you could draw too. And I'm like, yeah. So I was up late a couple of winters ago, somewhere around December or January. And I was had just finished up an actual doing a commission piece for someone, and I started thinking, and I don't know why it popped in my head, but it was like, you've always wanted to do a comic book. Why don't you? And I was like, you know, what would I do? Like, if I were to do a comic book, I wouldn't want to do superheroes. That's not my thing. So I just started thinking about, I grabbed some paper and I just started jotting down like concepts and drawing up like these character concepts. And it was like, I wanted it to be an amalgamation of things that I was really into. So there was an old TV show from the 80s called Moonlighting with Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah. Or
if
you're, I never watched, yeah. But I know it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. So Moonlighting and Dick Tracy and RoboCop and The Terminator and Ghostbusters. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? So it ends up being this like black and white, artsy looking like detective noir story where it's sort of, he takes on this case and it spirals into like, there's some crooked cybernetics company. And as you saw at the end of, well, I don't want to spoil anything.
No, don't give me it takes, we will be this thing.
Yeah. It takes a whole different turn at the end of issue two to where it starts leading into a whole other feel of things that are going to be happening now, you know. So it's just sort of like all of these things that I've grown up watching or liking or just being a fan of, like I just sort of combine all of these things into a story called Price Private Investigator. One of my favorite artists is Kevin Eastman of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know, that indie comic vibe, you know, that like do it yourself, publish it yourself.
Yes. You know what I love about it.
Yeah, there's something so raw and like gritty, and it just gives a vibe. I think it really just puts off a certain feel to it. It almost sets like a tone, a certain tone when you're reading it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And I really appreciate the, which I mean, it's something that's been done, but I think you do it in a little bit different way. The red, the only other color.
Yeah, it's totally been done. It like Sin City, and that's something that I worried about when I did. I was like, dude, people are gonna be like, dude, this is Sin City, but nobody's ever once said, oh, that reminds me of Sin City. Like, did you rip that off? So
I think you've done it in a different enough way that it doesn't feel like you're copying.
Yeah, well, so like in the first issue, there's like that red car that you see. That's like the first thing of red that you see, and the reason that's in there is because my friend Josh that I work with, he had an old, I don't know. It was like a 95 Paseo, and he had to like turn it in and get it totaled. Then he got a new car, but he like misses his car, right? So he's like, you should put my car in the comic. And I was like, you know what? I will. And so like, that's the first red thing you see, like pulling out of the Primrose Cybernetics was his car just pulling out. And I'm sure some people were like, why is that car red? And what is that? What's the significance behind that? But just one of those things. Yeah.
No, I think it works. It works real well. I want to tell you something hilarious. Try not to judge me too hard because it's pretty bad.
This is a judgment free zone.
Absolutely.
This is Planet Fitness.
So when I've multiple times during my childhood, I decided I wanted to create a comic book. Mm-hmm. And I remember one that actually happened, and a friend of mine, I created these terrible superhero personas of me and her, and we were called Sonic Boom. It was so bad. It was so bad. Sonic
Boom. All right, so tell me about it. Come on, what do you got?
But yeah, I mean, Sonic Boom, I don't know why none of us had any kind of auditory superpowers.
Oh.
We just kind of went around beating people up. But
I mean, you know, like, put the Sonic Boom on that ass. That's fine. I mean, it could be just a term for a cool, like, beat 'em up move. I mean, that's fine. You guys should have rolled with it.
Yeah, but gosh, you know, like, fifth grade, that's...
Yeah, I was going to ask how old were you. That's cool. Yeah.
Long gone, but how funny. Oh, my God.
That's cool. I remember I've got a friend of mine. He always brings it up, too. We used to have home ec class together, and we got to know each other talking about comic books. He was really into, like, Silver Surfer and all this stuff. But, we would sit and like come up with, instead of doing like our work, we would draw comic characters. And he always brings up like, man, you remember Nightfire with a K, K-N-I-G-T, of course, Nightfire. But like, I don't know, he was some like space, I don't know, he was like some space knight, like cosmic knight with like some armor, like a flame sword or something. I don't know. You know, I mean, But that's the groundwork. That's the foundation for, you know, like that's what people like me do. And then you grow up and you do it like just for, it just shows you were inspired by something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. You know? But, you know, speaking of being inspired, a lot of the time, I mean, okay. So with my work, I feel like my work has two sides. There's this side that I put in galleries where it's like feminine and flowy and.
Mm-hmm. Which is fantastic. I love your work, actually.
Oh, thank you. But then there's the other side that's like teenage boy wants to make a comic book / campy / weird / lots of skulls illustrations.
Yeah.
That's like heavily inspired by all the things we're talking about. It's comics, yeah. It's old movies, it's all this crazy shit. A lot of the times the inspiration is really visible. And like you said, one of your favorites is Kevin Eastman. You know, mm-hmm. I kind of see that in some of your work a little bit with like, especially in the comic book.
Yeah.
The harsh, you know, the harsh blackness.
Sure. The black and the lines for shadows and like the cross hatching and the, you know, just the gritty, that gritty rough look is, you know, yeah.
So, you know, when you think of like campiness in the form of like, you know, just traditional 2D art, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of representation there as far as in the mainstream of gallery type settings, except for maybe like lowbrow pop surrealism, which we've talked about on the podcast before. But the thing I respect about artists like you is taking something, I mean, it's a totally different medium most of the time, like movies, and turning it into a 2D piece.
Mm-hmm. There's tons of like, and especially if you go to like conventions and stuff, you're going to see that horror movie fan art and things like that. And that's, I mean, that's awesome. And I think conventions like that and stuff keep the genre and keep that whole thing like alive and well. There's always going to be a fan base for that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Kevin Eastman, like, I mean, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, really? Like, how stupid is that? It's stupid, right? So, like, him and Peter Laird are up in their apartment one night and they're just drawing goofy stuff. And he says, if you could think of like one of the worst animals to have like kung fu, like to know kung fu, what would be the silliest thing? And Peter Laird's like, I don't know, maybe like a turtle. So Kevin Eastman draws this turtle with like nunchucks and they start adding to it night by night. And they're like, you know what? Like, oh, Ninja Turtles. And then Peter Laird's like, what if we called them Mutant Ninja Turtles? And he's like, what if we call them Teenage Mutant Ninja? And there you go. So they published, they start a comic. They only count on one issue. And they're like, this is going to be nothing. This is so stupid. Like, we'll use tax return money to the guy print them, you know, and publish it ourselves. And then the next thing you know, like within a year, they've created like an empire for themselves.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think my comics got a little bit of campiness. If you look at it, I mean, like I said, all those ridiculous things, like, and I try to throw some stupid humor in there too. I'm sure you've noticed, but
yeah,
I don't know. I really don't know what I'm getting at other than, yeah, I like campy stuff. I don't know. Oh yeah. I feel what you're coming from on camp.
Yeah. Which, you know, the subject today is campiness, but I mean, it really does bring us back to comic books a lot and movies because that's where it's the most well represented.
Yeah.
For me. And I mean, I say childhood memories, but truthfully, I was a big scaredy cat. A lot of this stuff freaked me out as a kid. But as an adult, I have such nostalgia for like Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, God. That's so campy.
I know. I recently rewatched that first season. And oh, my God.
Yeah, it's laughable.
It's so but funny.
It is good, though. I loved it. Yeah, like Crypt Keeper, you know, he scared me when I was a kid. It's funny, like as a horror head as I am now for 80s horror movies and stuff, like my parents wouldn't let me watch it. They wouldn't let us watch it when we were kids. It was in my teenage years is when I really discovered it for myself. And they would rent A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2. And I remember them saying, go to your room. And I was like, but I want to watch this Freddy guy. No, go to your room. But then Freddy ended up being like the biggest joker of them all. Like,
oh yeah,
really real. Bad, corny jokes. Yeah.
What was your first horror movie?
I honestly don't remember. Speaking of lost art of things, the video store, and we would walk around. Yeah, and I would just sort of peruse into the horror aisle because I wasn't supposed to be looking at that stuff. And I was, you know, but I was fascinated with it because the art on the boxes back then were so intriguing to look at.
They really were.
Like just painted. I don't know. They were just so well done. And it was just a really a piece of, like, the movie was absolute shit. You could bet your bottom dollar. The movie was good. That box art made you want to rent that and take that home for a couple nights for 50 cents. So I remember when I was like 16, which is really late for me, it was a lot of, all my friends were like, yeah, my parents let me watch Friday the 13th when I was six. I'm like, that's cool. I remember going in and renting. Oh, there was a video store in my little hometown called Stamping Ground. Rack. It was like I said, 50 cents a night for two nights. I would rack up on like Friday the 13th. That was like probably one of my first like dives into horror and just all that whole series, you know, like, of course, The Nightmare on Elm Street and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I, as far back as I can remember, that was probably it.
Oh my gosh, mine was Child's Play 3, oddly enough. Nowhere near the beginning. Well, see, I was aware of a lot of other movies and a lot of other scary movies, and I probably could have watched them, but I was way too chicken. I was the child who hid behind the couch every time the Addams Family came on.
Oh, man.
Which is sad.
Okay. Yeah.
Who would guess I'd grow up to be like this horror hound that I've turned into?
I mean, that just happens sometimes, you know?
That's my favorite kind of campy art. And that's probably why the stuff I create leans a little more towards that, like 90s, mm-hmm. like slime, almost like Nicktoons, but like on acid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Some Double Dare.
Oh, yeah.
Meets, I don't know, yeah.
It was like Double Dare meets the Crypt Keeper.
Exactly, yes.
I did a piece a while back of like one of those really comic book looking skulls with like a really long tongue and uh-huh. big freaky eyeballs, and it's Let's Make Out, which is an
obvious, I don't know if I saw that one.
It's an obvious like Friday the 13th reference.
Yeah. I just thought, like, how cool would it be if the Crypt Keeper hosted a new season of Double Dare?
I'd watch that. Yeah,
I'm DVRing every episode.
Oh, gosh. You know, the best part of Tales from the Crypt was the Crypt Keeper. It's the best part.
Well, yeah, because, yeah, I mean, the stories were kind of like, oh, okay, the Twilight Zone did this better, or the Outer Limits did this better. But, you know, that's cool. Like, yeah.
Yeah, he was drawn completely different in the comic books, which is it was wild because the television version was so perfect.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Speaking of like horror comics and stuff, really big into like, I mean, it was like some off, I've never heard of these guys, Charleston Comics. Like, I have a bunch of those when they came out like 1980, 1981. And it was like, You Will Believe in Ghost and Secrets of Haunted House. And of course, like DC did like Weird War Tales. And it would always be this paranormal weirdness and stuff like that. Like, they would always have like a host. It was like, I am Death, your host for the comic. So he was sort of like your Crypt Keeper. And yeah, I was inspired by stuff like that too. I mean,
yeah,
it's funny that we're talking now. All these things are coming back to me like, oh yeah, this and that. And I keep dropping him some rant.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
It's always the way it goes. It's hard to talk about campy things and not talk about like the LGBTQ take on all this, because like a lot of like perfect examples of campiness without being like the horror kind that we love is like from the gay community, like John Waters movies.
John, I was going to say John Waters. Yeah, absolutely. Pink Women. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, guys, those movies. Yeah. Those are crazy.
Oh yeah.
And but they're so good.
I mean, I've not watched a lot of the real shocking ones, mostly just because I've not had access to them yet. But yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you can't talk about this kind of stuff without mentioning that. And like, he had such a vision that's so bizarre, like disgusting looking people, like covered in shit. And
yeah, yeah. I mean, he's the king of it, honestly.
And I mean, yeah. I think that's probably, he's probably the main reason why a lot of drag culture is the way that it is, and there's so much campiness in those styles of movies and drag shows and those kinds of characters, which I can see myself being drawn to that kind of stuff also and creating art from it. Divine
camp and
eating and dry shit.
Yeah, divine eating shit.
Yeah. It's funny though, because like some of my favorite movies are those kinds of movies. Like, have you ever seen Tu Wong Fu?
You know what? I know exactly what it is. I've never seen it because it's Patrick Swayze and who else is in that? Is it John Leguizamo?
Yes. Wesley Snipes. Yeah. RuPaul's in it for like a minute. She is a drag queen wearing a sparkly Confederate flag dress, and her name is Rachel Tension.
Oh my gosh. No, that's perfectly RuPaul right there.
It really is. She has the most dry sense of humor. It's so hilarious. If you ever watch RuPaul's Drag Race, it's the campiest thing on TV in the best way.
I don't think I've ever watched it.
It's so fun.
Are they still doing like new episodes of that?
Yeah, there's a season going on right now.
No kidding. Wow.
But, you know, speaking of like, you know, weird campy things that we love showing up in our artwork, I didn't realize this, but I think like 90% of the ladies that I draw are actually drag queens.
Well, there you go. That's just bleeding through right there.
Have there been times that like you're drawing and you're really into what you're making and you don't even fully realize that what you're creating is heavily inspired by like a movie or something else?
I don't think so. If it has, the thing about art, people interpret things from art that other people may not. So there may be some times where I've created something and someone's picked up on something that I didn't intend or didn't know. But I don't know. For the most part, I feel like what I do is pretty cut and dry. Like, you know where it came from, or you know the inspiration behind it. I don't know, but it could be. Nobody's ever really told me, so.
It's one of those things. It's like, you know, it's probably like our references are so completely ingrained in us that we just don't even notice it.
Right. I mean, yeah, you know, it's, and I don't go for any like hidden subliminal thing in my art. I just do it. Like, I don't know. I don't want to be that guy. You know, I'm just like, you know what? This is just, it is what it is. You're seeing it, and that's a cybernetic gorilla crushing through a wall or something. That's exactly what it is. Like, don't ask any questions. I don't know what made me draw it, but there it is. Like,
no room for metaphors here.
Yeah, and I've never drawn a cybernetic gorilla, but I just made that up. But actually,
please do.
That might be next on the list. So yeah,
I don't want to see it if you do.
You know, yeah.
Oh my gosh, next Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Which, that's what I'm thinking. You saying that earlier, we kind of grew up with it, but around that time when that came out, no one had ever made anything like that. I'm sure people were like, what in the hell is a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I know. Nobody, and then after that happened, so much tried to copy it, like a Biker Mice from Mars. I don't know if you remember that. Street Sharks was one. I mean, it's so many. Yeah, just little. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, it was so ridiculous, but I mean, look what it did. It just became this thing.
One thing that I enjoy a lot about your work in particular is that you can tell you're having fun with it. You can tell that you're drawing things that you love, things that you're nostalgic for. I don't think I've ever seen anything that you've put out there that doesn't look like you just had such a fun time creating it.
Oh, yeah. I always worry that I'm going to like hit a dry spell one day and go, I feel like drawing, but what am I going to draw next? But like, I always come up with something, you know what I mean? Like, so, and I always really enjoy doing it. And you know, on like a more serious side to it though, like, you know, I'm doing this series of like influential women in history, which you've seen the Amelia Earhart and the Rosa Parks that I've done so far. And I just think that's important too, to touch on, like,
yes,
you know, put my own spin on stuff like that. Just to show appreciation for, and you know, the women that have really, paved the way for this country. And I don't know, you know,
I really appreciate that series.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool. And Lord knows I could do 5,000 different pieces on that, but I've got to narrow it down to like a certain few, you know what I mean? Like there's so many women that are worthy of the series, but I mean, what do you do? Like, you know,
yeah. They look so interesting in your style too, because it's like, it's very you. You didn't try to make it different just because it was more of a feminine.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's just going to look like what I do anyway. I mean, that's just all there is to it. But like with the Rosa Parks, I tried to make it look like this old black and white picture. And I don't know. I think it came out looking how I intended it to. So yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying doing stuff like that too. I do think that's important, like to just break away from my outside. I mean, it's kind of outside the box for me, so.
Yeah.
Always up for a challenge, so.
So while we're on this topic, you do a podcast yourself, and
I do.
It totally fits with everything we're talking about.
It does, yeah. So it is me, my friend Matt Hosley, and his brother Lucas Hosley, and it's called The Lost Art Of. And essentially, it just touches on, well, like our opening intro says it all. It's three friends breathing new life back into past culture, sorely missed and long since departed. So you've got all of these crazy little things that people, sadly, like our first episode is the experience of the video store. And a lot of people don't know what that's like. You know, so we were just talking about
experience too.
Certainly a lost art. Yeah. And or we might break it down and do our favorite songs that were released in 1985 or our favorite movies that came out in 1998. Just things like that. Or we'll do, like, we've got a Ghostbusters episode that we're planning, and I'm really excited about that. Just talk about the whole legacy of Ghostbusters.
You can't talk about Campy Stuff and not talk about Ghostbusters. It's so good.
Yes, I know. So we just cover a lot of just retro pop culture stuff, and you can find it at you can find us on Facebook at just go to Facebook and type in the Lost Art Of podcast, and you'll find our page, and which will send you to the links to where you can listen to each episode, as well as you can find us on Google Play, I believe, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast. So anywhere you can listen to podcasts at, like, we're on there.
Yeah. There was an episode I was listening to of you guys recently, because I'm backtracking a little bit because I'm coming to the game late. But you were talking about, like, favorite Christmas memories, and I just think that's such a beautiful topic, because all of these things that we've talked about today, those were almost most definitely toys under that tree.
Yeah, exactly. I know. And what's sad though is we say it's a beautiful thing because but you know what, honestly, that was the most, growing up in the 80s, that was the most materialistic time for Christmas, and like totally forgetting about what the holidays were supposed to be about. But that's what made you remember, for me anyway, like, was, oh man, I got this that year, and I remember getting this. And you know, it's kind of bad, but I mean, like, you know, like, I don't know, when you're a kid, that's what Christmas is to you.
I know, people get like iPads for their 2-year-olds nowadays, so I don't think it's really that
bad. Well, it's not, yeah, it's gotten really, really ridiculous, but yeah, I mean, we have a lot of fun with the podcast. I mean, it was something that we just kind of randomly decided to do, and here we are almost 30 episodes in, I think, and it's kind of crazy that we've,
gosh, we must have started around the same time. I think this is going to be episode 35 for us.
Yeah, we must. Yeah, I think we kind of sort of did.
That's crazy. And it took us this long to, like, intersect.
I know. Well, it's okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to be here, so.
All right. So go ahead and tell everybody where to find Price Private Investigator if they're interested in reading.
Well, you can just contact me through Facebook, which would be facebook.com/ Jason Shepherd Official. That's SHEPARD. Or just find my personal Jason Shepherd page, and I'll friend request you, or you can friend request me, and I'll accept it probably. And just inbox me. Yeah, probably. Inbox me, say hello, and tell me, let me know you're interested in it, and I can get it shipped out to you. Cool thing about the comics that I'm doing now, though, I just want to say, you know, the first three issues were completely hand-drawn. I've gone digital now, and I'm learning that there's a lot of doors that I'm able to open now. And was the main reason I went digital was my comics are going to look like 10 times better. And I'm going to be able to do 10 times more than I was ever able to do with just pencil Sharpie and some comic book boards. So I'm really excited about the way E4 is going to look. And I'm just really, not that I'm not proud of what I've done so far, but man, there's going to be a whole new door open, and really excited. So. Yeah. You can also find me on Instagram. Just do the @ Jason Shepherd Official, and you'll find me on there. So,
well, I know I'm excited to read issue 3, which I've not got yet. And I'm really excited to see the growth with the changes to digital, it's going to be really cool to see.
Yeah, it's going to look completely different. So, in a very good way.
Designer, I really appreciate the thought that you put into all this.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I am totally honored that you would even ask me to be on here and that you appreciate what I do, because I admire you as an artist, and just to have that that mutual appreciation is awesome. So thank you.
Aw, thank you. We get all sappy here at the end. But yeah, that's it. That's campy. Yeah. That's fun. Yeah. That's Jason Shepherd.
That's me in a nutshell right there.
Thank you so much for joining me today, man.
It is my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you to everyone listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Be sure to join our Facebook group and visit our website at weirdappalachia.com. Stay campy and keep Appalachia weird.